Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLM?
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing the show. This is going to be the realest, well, one of the realest, well, they're all real shows, but this is real, real life people. When the topic of today's show is, what if you were told you only had 6 months left to live? And I'm not joking here. I'm not, and it's not me. But it's one of my friends who was just diagnosed. But before, you know, why do I just jump right in? Let me share with my new people that are finding the show. Let me just share a little bit about the show and even my background. This Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, this radio show, this podcast, whatever you want to call it, I've been broadcasting now, geez, over 10 years. And the purpose of the show is to share with you, my dear audience, how to experience more happiness on this journey we call life. And when I say happiness, I'm not talking about something happens and now you feel good. It's nothing external. It's not about what happens to you that makes you feel a certain way. You feel good. Oh, you got the promotion, you feel good. Oh, you found your significant other, you feel good. Oh, you got married, you feel good. Oh, you traveled to a destination. Oh, you're checking off your bucket list, and now you feel good. No, what this show talks about is how to navigate, how to be at peace regardless of what happens. My definition for happiness is the ability to be at peace, your ability to be at peace, regardless of what happens in the world, regardless of what happens in your personal life. And that is a practice. When I say happiness is a practice skill, I'm going to have to repeat that. Happiness is a practice skill. And like any other practice, whether it's a doctor, an artist, basketball, we have a game 7 today, athlete, musician, a chef, landscaper, everything, when you really, regardless of what it is, even if it's writing or speaking, it is a practice. And you know that, say you're a chef. In the beginning, you weren't coming out with 5-star meals. You know, I just go off into a tangent. I have so much to say. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it is a practice skill, and I share with you on this show, Reality Spirituality, what to practice. What to practice and what to eliminate. What do you eliminate that is going to be taking away, subtracting from your happiness? And it is a practice. The number to call in to speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. I have a few people in the queue, but I've got to get through this first. Because I want to set this up. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it's like any other skill. The more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice, a moment-by-moment practice, the better the results. And your answer, your practice is going to determine how happy you feel along the journey. It doesn't matter what happens to you. It matters how much you commit to the practice. On this show, I share with you how to experience more happiness in your life, the real definition. Well, I gave you the definition, and we all are different. We are as different as our fingerprints, and you have a different definition of happiness. My definition is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And why is happiness so important? I mean, look out into the world. People with everything, supposedly everything, the successful people, the most successful on this planet, are unhappy. There's plenty of examples of that. They will tell you that money doesn't buy happiness. They will even tell you that money buys freedom. I'm telling you what, well, listen, you want to get to the end of your life and still be searching for something? That searching, that looking out there, just like the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, looking out there, you already have it. The ability to be at peace, the ability to be happy is right here, right now. Your circumstances don't have to change. Nothing has to change. Your perspective has to change. If you're unhappy in this particular moment, nothing outside has to change but your perspective. The other things on the show is what behaviors to avoid that subtract from your happiness. Everyday behaviors. You know what I'm talking about. I've said it forever. Having expectations, blaming something or circumstances for how you feel, comparing yourself to others, worrying. I just started another 8-week class that started last week about the truth about happiness. And the funny thing, and I asked my students, I said, how many of you worry? Everybody raised their hands. Everyone raised their hands. Yeah, I worry. And even one student said, worrying is normal. Worrying isn't normal. Worrying is something you were taught to do. And, of course, worrying subtracts from your happiness. So on this show, what I share is what to practice that is going to add to your happiness and what behaviors that you eliminate that obviously subtract from your happiness. Now, here we go with the topic, and I'll get to the callers, but the topic of today's show is, what if you were told you only have 6 months left to live? This is a true story. One of my friends, you know, I live in Oregon now, Southern Oregon, and there are two men in my life that I met at the senior center. I used to volunteer at the senior center in the town that I live, and that's how I met them. And they're fishermen, and I invited myself on one of their fishing trips. These people are mountain people, farmers, I mean, truck drivers. These people are the salt of the earth. People that work in the fields, farms. Down-home dudes, strong, can fix anything. These are my two friends. I'm not going to say who their names, but I call them, and I'm not even giving them your nicknames. But two of my friends who I've had for almost 3 years, and one of them is obese, is grossly obese, not eating healthy, of course, not exercising. And then last year, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer. Went through the chemo a few times, and they were going to do surgery. June, the first week in June. Well, the surgeon, and he had an MRI, and the surgeon called, the doctor called and said, we're going to cancel the surgery. He'd had an MRI, and he said, yes, we're going to go ahead with the surgery. And then a month later, right before the surgery, he had another MRI. And what had happened was that the cancer had spread to his liver. The cancer has spread. Now it's in his bloodstream. And they're giving him 6 months left to live. I just found this out yesterday. When I say this is reality spirituality, this is real life. When I talk about, and I'm really passionate about it, because how now with all of the things that I practice, how am I going to serve? How am I going to, if this is, listen, when you have the pancreas cancer spreads to the liver, now it's in your blood, it is just a matter of time. And yesterday when I heard the news, I actually asked him, because he didn't call me to tell me. He told us his buddy, you know, the two of them are best friends. He told his buddy. I called the buddy because the buddy left a message on my phone. He says, this isn't good news. I have to talk to you. I went directly and I called him. I called, let me see, what can I call him? I got to give him a name. I'm going to call him Jim. And then my other buddy I'm going to call Greg. Okay, here we go. Jim and Greg. So I called Jim directly and I said, what's going on? And we chatted, and I said, no, what's really going on? And then he told me that his doctor gave him 6 more months. And I listened to him. And I said, well, have you had breakfast yet? This was yesterday morning. And he said, no, so we went out to breakfast. Now, I do have a heart, and I admit that when I first heard the news, not from him, but it did shake me, because he's younger than I am. He's in his mid-50s, younger than I am. Real life is a real challenge, and it's even more of a challenge when you're not practicing daily. If you're just not conscious, not self-aware, lacking self-awareness in every moment, not practicing, everything is in order, not trusting, not knowing everything happens, if that's not a practice, then when these things happen, life and death, it hits hard. The programming, in fact, the people that he told, his best friend, is so distraught that it's very difficult even to talk to him. Not the one with the cancer, not the one that's dying, the one that heard the news. And help me with this. My first thought was, how can I serve the person that's dying? How do I serve them in the next 6 months, 8 months, 10 months? Because, you know, when they give you a six-month sentence, it could be earlier or it could be later. How do I serve him? And the only thing that I came up with, and not the only thing, but what I did was I was just me and thinking about what would I want? What would I want from a friend? What would I want from a family member? What would I want? I don't want anybody, you know, the interesting thing, we're all different. We are as different as our fingerprints. But I don't want anybody crying for me. That's not going to help me. I mean, you can cry after I'm dead. That's fine. But crying, that's not going to help me. Worrying, that's not going to help me. That's not going to help me in this moment. If someone is in that situation, if somebody has just been told that they're going to be dead in 6 months or a short amount of time. I mean, the cancer is in his bloodstream now. it is a matter of time. We just don't know how long it's going to be. What can I bring? What gift can I, that's right, I said gift. What gift can I bring him? Well, we had breakfast, and I was, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but he said this to me. He says, you are the only person that when I told this news to, you didn't start crying. Is the thought about yourself, or is the thought about the person that's dying? I remember this is a while ago, maybe 20, 25 years ago, and my own mother had a sister that was dying, and she didn't want to this is toward the end of her life. She didn't want to see her. She didn't want to see her because she knew that she would break down and start crying. She knew that it was too painful. Scratch that. It was too painful for her. This isn't about us when someone else is dying. This is about them. And what gift can you bring them? I don't even know if this is even talked about. What gift do you bring them? I don't want anybody crying for me. And I'm going to be dying? I'd rather not see you. It's bad enough that I know that I'm dying. I don't need to have to think about you and your sadness and your feelings. Because what? The focus is on the loss. The focus, when someone is dying that we say we claim to love, now we're talking about what I'm losing. I'm losing my friend. I'm losing my mother. I'm losing my parent. I know it's harsh. This is reality, spirituality. I'm losing them. I feel bad. I'm losing them. What about what they are going through and how they, and what can I bring to them? And the answer that I have is, fun, enjoyment, contemplation, conversation, ears. I brought ears. After we had breakfast, he said to me that you're the only one that's not crying. Thank you. He thanked me. We went over to his house. We sat out in the backyard. His backyard is overlooking a river. Beautiful, beautiful scenery. We must have sat on a bench overlooking the river, looking at the river for maybe 2 hours until both of our asses got tired of sitting on the bench. You know, like you sit there and it's hard to sit down. It's hard to stay sitting. So you have to get up, have to stretch out. You can't even get up and start walking. You have to get up and stretch the legs. We did that. He was talking about his life. He was talking about, he says, I'm not going to die with this. In other words, there were a lot of things, not really a lot, but there were a few things that he says, I'm not taking this to my grave. Now, I have no judgment, nothing about what somebody does, wants to do or not do, and they've just given only 6 months left to live. As far as I'm concerned, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do. That's right, I said, and you can do whatever you want to do. And quite frankly, that's how I feel about people that are in my life, and they're not dying. Well, we're all dying, but not been given a diagnosis, right? What is my point? My point is my responsibility, my job, is to bring as much lightness, the light vibration as possible. That is the only, that's the gift that I, ears are in a light vibration. It's not going to be woe is me. That's not helping them. Worry energy isn't helping them at all. If you claim to love, if you claim to care, what can you do? Did I finish the story? Yeah, my mother, she didn't want to because it was too much of a burden. She would feel too bad. Now, listen, everybody is different, and I know that some people just can't. There are some people that can't even go into hospitals. They're going to faint. I remember someone younger and couldn't even walk into a hospital. It just made them feel queasy. I get that. I'm not that person. When you know a person when you're challenged, you really get to know someone when they're challenged. You don't know them when everything is fine and the sun is out. But when you're challenged, that's when you know them. That's when they really, that's who they really are. And the other thing, so we're sitting talking. I'm really doing a lot of listening. And he's talking about these. He says this is going to have to come out. He's really talking about family things. And then we sat in the kitchen, and we were having something to drink. I had some V8, and then helped him clean up some part of the house. I took a plant. I said, I want this plan of yours. This reminds me of you. Meaning, what do you need me to do? What would you like me to do? That was my question to him. Take this plant. Take that plant. Take this tool. You know, what do you want? All of it. And I went in the front yard. I cut maybe about 20 roses. Of course, they hadn't been trimmed or anything. I cut 20 roses. We have a big bouquet of roses sitting on the kitchen table now. The truth is, the body dies. We all are going to die, but our energy, our spirit, our consciousness doesn't die. And he realized that. He says, you know, this is the temporary. This form is temporary. I am going to be here, and I'm moving to another spot. I'll be going to another place. There is no such thing as death of the spirit, death of consciousness, death of the energy. I'll be moving to a different place. Now, listen, the news is new. Who knows what's going on when you're by yourself? I have no idea. I don't know, but you know what that... You know what that whole experience taught me is to live even more, is to be at peace even more, is to savor, is to enjoy each moment even more, even the moments I don't want, even the moments I don't want to experience, thankful for nothing, universe, even those moments, is to, when I say to live, I mean, it's like soak it all up. Soak it up. Drink it up. This diagnosis of 6 more months to live has hit me in a place where I'm even going to take it up a higher notch. Life is moving quickly. How do you want to experience in every moment? The programming teaches us to be sad. The programming teaches us to start crying. The programming that teaches, oh, no. What I'm here to tell you is to recognize that programming and to rise above it and quite frankly, to eliminate it all together. One of the happiest moments, and it's in my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. One of my favorite photos is when it's a picture of me and my son on the beach. It's in my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. It's a photograph of me and my son on the beach. I mean, if you wouldn't know it, where we're sitting, he's got his arms wrapped around me, and that photograph was taken 1 hour after I buried my father. My point is, the programming means something sad. I get it. Mourning, sad. Someone's dying. I totally get it. I'm not poo-pooing it, but I'm here to share that there's another way. There's another way. There's another perspective. instead of focusing on the loss, focus on how many memories can I make? How many memories, how many great memories can I make from this day on to the last day? And I'm saying memories with my friends and memories in my own life, because really it's about the memories. It's about, when I say it's about the memories, I mean the memories, but more importantly than memories, it's the vibration. What is your vibration? What is the vibration? What is your vibration? When if you hear news, sad news like that, because it is news. You know, life is an experience without judgment. I'm not going to put a judgment on it that it's sad. Most people would say that's sad. I'm not going to say it's sad. It's a judgment. Life and death, that's what happens. I'm dying someday. I could get the same diagnosis tomorrow. What does that mean? What does that mean I have to do? What does that mean I have to feel? I don't know. This, because the universe puts people, circumstances in my life for a reason. And as far as I can feel, this is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call for me, for anybody else who wants to claim it. And when I say wake-up call, is even more practice. Even more letting go. Even more not just, even more letting go. Even more, you know what? Can we find a way to make peace a priority? How am I mean, if I say this is my friend, how am I going to help him? I mean, help him through this time. Not by whining or crying or sad and then talking about, oh God, he's dying, oh my God. You know, that's a program. If someone comes to you, I have 6 months left to live, the program reaction is, oh my God, no. But the practice is acceptance, and what do we do from here? How can I serve him from here? And I came up with normal, fun conversation, ears, a lot of listening. What do you need from me? A lot of questions. What do you need from me? What can I do? I asked him. He's finishing the deck in the back of the house. Hey, I'll help you build a deck. I'll help you finish a deck. I'm an electrician's daughter. I can help you finish a deck. What can I do? I'm not going over there with this sad, mopey face. I'm not. He doesn't need that. And I don't do that. I don't practice that. I don't even know where this whole show is going because I'm all over the place. It's a lot to digest. But hopefully there is some kind of a light bulb or lesson there, or maybe even a different perspective that you can take away from this. Focusing on what we're losing, how about focusing on the great memories that we share? Focusing on a loss, how about focusing on how can I make this moment even, how can I be grateful, even more grateful? Yeah, I'm all over the place now. I already know it. I'm scattered. But the message is clear. Whether it's a personal message, if I'm told I only have a few months, listen, that's going to be my philosophy from here on out. From yesterday on, yeah, I only have 6 more months left to live. That's how I'm going to live it. Only having 6 months left to live, that's how I'm going to live for the rest of my life. Oh, I got my left hand up in the air on this one. I'm going to live like I had 6 months, only 6 months left to live. That's on. That's it. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, all of us are different. And what that looks like for me may not be what it looks like for you. All my paperwork is in order. I'm ready to go. I got everything set. All my son needs to do is and this has been done a long time ago, is, hey, this is where all my papers are. Pick up the papers. Everything's done. All you have to do is make 2 phone calls. Bam. And I'm taken care of. That's another thing. What do you want to leave? What are you leaving for the people behind? A big mess? Confusion? I don't give advice, but if you're a parent, I would make sure everything is in order so my children or my child doesn't have to go through going to a funeral home and picking out a casket. I mean, I wouldn't want my son to have to do that. I do not want my son to have to do that. So it's all taken care of. This notion of I only have 6 months left to live is a game changer for me. Game changer. It's just up the ante. It's just taken me to another level of, yes, I am on this life, and I'm going to be living this life as large as I can and doing what I enjoy. And that could even be watching Impractical Jokers, because I really do like that show. What I enjoy, I love to laugh. Love to laugh, love to keep it light, love to have fun. I'm going to do more of that. Like I'm not doing enough of it now. I'm going to do even more. I'm going to double down. Double down on it. 6 more months to live. What would you do if that's what you were told? How would you live if you only had 6 more months to live? You know what I'm going to ask him? I really am. When I see him again, I'm going to ask him if there are any regrets. I'm going to ask him that because, you know, we've talked about this on the show where 5 regrets of the dying. I'm going to ask him if any, and why, so I can learn. There's something more than I can do. What are they? So to sum everything up, what I want to share is eventually we're all going to be around people that are dying. And what do you bring? What gifts do you bring to the people that are dying? Because they can feel your energy. They can feel it. Woo! Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on my YouTube channel. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. My second book, Program for Unhappiness, is coming out sometime this year. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Spirituality.
Oh, now we getting real.
Getting real.